Welcome to Earth, my friend.
Hello.
The people who think they're good enough are assholes.
An early draft of a God Mode introduction video script, an unexpected interruption from a podcasting trailblazer, and Mark and Brendan shine a spotlight on the scary bits of their psyche. It's episode 21 of Convergence, Outing Our Shadows. I've been writing a bit about God Mode, and I have some ideas, and I have a script I've written for like an introduction video or maybe a marketing video for like the front page of God Mode when you like come to the site. Just kind of want a big video there, just being like, introduction, hey, here's what this is all about. And so I've got a script for it, and I was thinking about reading it to you, get your feedback on it. It's an early draft, but I think it's pretty good. I've gone over a couple times. Oh, I already have actually one quick edit I want to make. Yeah. Boom. Okay, great. That's going to be better. Already like it better. I'm Brendan. I've been where you are now. Think of me as a wizard. I will guide you on this quest to find the game-breaking secret weapon. I will show you where to go on the world map to start the quest. I will reveal which treasure chests have loot and which have skeletons ready to sneak attack. I will give you the weaknesses for the mini-bosses, and I will demystify the puzzles so that you can fly through these challenges with ease. I lay this all out for you, and it sounds like it'll be easy, but it will not be. You may know how to beat the mini-boss or the challenge, but you still have to do it. I can't do it for you. Your brother can't, your parents can't, your partner can't. It has to be you. And you are going to want to, or at least you're going to be glad you did. You may not yet have a firm grasp on why you would want to embark on such a journey if it is, in fact, so hard, even while guided by a wizard. Let me tell you a bit about me. I wasn't always a wizard. I used to be so disappointed in myself, feeling like I'd wasted my life, that I wouldn't amount to anything, that I wasn't worth the effort. I ate food to numb my feelings until my health wasted away. Eventually, my teeth all fell out and I developed chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, amongst many other conditions. I didn't want to die, so I decided I wanted to live. And I spent 17 years experimenting on myself, looking for answers, teachers, healers, and wisdom. And I found ways to bring my body, heart, mind, and spirit into great health. And the key that they all need to grow together for the experiments to turn into life changes. Now, I literally couldn't be happier. Even when there is a challenge I have to face, like a car accident or an unexpected bill or a disagreement with someone close to me, I don't lose my happiness and my presence and awareness, but instead I recognize what is, let it happen, and deal with it. All while achieving every goal I never thought I was good enough to set. I want that for you. So I designed this guide, this map, so that you can walk your own course in life and learn your own lessons at your own pace. But you still have to learn the lessons, and it's not always easy. This course is going to make you uncomfortable. That's the intention. Comfort is what got you to where you are now. And that's amazing. Look at you. You've got to experience everything in your life up till now, the challenges and the triumphs. And now you have the energy and desire to take it to the next level, to try something new, to embrace change. This isn't the main storyline. This is a side quest. Side quests are optional, hard, take multiple attempts, and can be frustrating. They make you wonder if it's worth it. It's worth it. I'm available to summon, one-on-one mentoring. When you are faced with an enemy or challenge you're unsure of, are afraid of, or have faced before, but still need to pass. This course includes 4 30-minute coaching calls. So if you want to play on easy mode, you know where your mom's basement is. If you want to get the rewards of hard difficulty so you can play the main story with ease, follow me to find out how to enable God mode.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some lovely pieces in there.
Thank you.
Can I offer some thoughts?
Yes. Please do.
I don't know that it's a side quest.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned that before. I agree with you that this is kind of the point of life. To me, from my perspective, it feels like it. But it's still optional. People don't actually have to do it.
I'm wondering if another way of framing it, keeping it in the game world, is how you can replay through a game with the experience that you've got in order to pick up some more stuff.
Yeah, New Game Plus.
Yeah. I mean, yes, there's also the DLC aspect, but I think, because as you said, sort of at the beginning, the kind of cheat codes and the stuff to disarm the bosses and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder whether what it is, it's a new campaign. I can't remember what they call it in like World of Warcraft when they drop new content. It's a new story that you can play. It's a new, I don't know if they call it a campaign or whatever.
And so, right.
I think that feels to me more like what it is. It's because that's still optional. But a side quest is almost one of those things where a side quest is inconsequential.
Oh.
Largely.
Sure.
Whereas what you're offering is very consequential.
It is very consequential. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. And I guess I don't really think, from my perspective, I'm thinking more like Final Fantasy, and because I played many of those games. Mm. I remember, I think it was Final Fantasy VIII. There's a point where you get the Ragnarok ship and you can kind of go anywhere on the world map now. And there's this one little tiny hidden island that's not on the map and you have to like kind of find it and it takes forever. And there's a super hard side quest to do that's completely optional, and you get this amazing weapon at the end of it, and it makes the rest of the game a lot easier. And I don't remember if it's a weapon or a summon or something, but and that's kind of how that's the imaging that I have been thinking about it. And I didn't really think about the aspect of like most side quests are a bit optional. You just get like extra experience or in-game currency or whatever.
It's also, they're not urgent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a degree of being able to express, like, in a non-judgmental way, you need to do this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, actually, I'm kind of, like, I get that. But I also feel like you got to come to this when you're ready for it. There's the urgency.
Yes, The thing with that is they still will.
Yeah.
Because if they're not ready for it, they won't watch the video anymore, or they'll go, I'm not ready for that. So there's so many things I've rejected and then have gone to.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not ready for it yet. I didn't need that person to lay it out for me. I didn't need that person to say, it's okay if you're not ready for it. That's implicit. That's implied. You've got to come this. I think, you know, the video is really setting out, this is where you are. If you're not ready, you're going to just ignore this video. You don't need me to tell you that.
That's a good point.
And it's not going to resonate with you, but you've heard the name, you've heard the thing, and maybe 6 months, a year down the line, maybe even longer, you're like, what was that thing? I think I kind of want to make that change.
Yeah,
you know, maybe
sure.
They've hit that moment in their life, that rock bottom or whatever it is, and they're like, shit, I need to make this change. Let's have a look at that God mode thing, see if that's still knocking around. And then you're like, okay, now I'm ready.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to present it from the point of view of they are already ready.
Hmm.
Because otherwise, like, you've got to be able to, like, you don't want to sell, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, like, you don't want to sell something to someone if they're not ready. And that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to make sure that if that person is on the cusp of being ready or they are ready, they feel that sense of urgency, because otherwise, tomorrow, like, never comes. Like, people, if they can put it off, they will.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a degree of cajoling and pushing them, just nudging them forward a little, I think.
Yeah.
And those who aren't ready will reject that push, and hopefully they'll come back again later.
Yeah, exactly.
When they are.
Exactly.
Or when they see more evidence or whatever. So.
For sure.
Oh, I wasn't sure about the mom's basement line. That felt a bit mean.
Yeah, it was intended to be a bit funny, but also like...
Yeah, because you have a lovely tone earlier where you're like, look, you know, look at you, look at how sort of how far you've come.
And yeah.
I think you can lean into that in a really lovely way of because it already sort of says like, or intimates like, you're not coming, you, Brendan, are not coming at this from a point of view of you're broken.
Right.
And you need to be fixed. This is more like, you're great. Here's how you can get even better.
Yeah.
which I think is a lovely framing of it. And so then to be like, that's great. And then,
yeah.
And then also like, get the fuck out of your mom's basement.
Oh. Yeah. There's an implied insult with that. Yeah. Where it's actually not meant to be. I think it's actually great to be in your mom's basement just playing video games, but that doesn't come across in the way that I
because that's almost always used as a pejorative to talk about a particular, like a keyboard warrior or whatever. Like,
and also like, I was also speaking to past me with that, like, because I was in my mom's basement playing video games and just hours of Tony Hawk finding every gap in the game just unnecessarily.
I like the idea of sort of seeing you walking out and, you know, like out in the world and some shots of past you and new you and like being nice and funky. And
I have a fun,
maybe CGI you.
When I say that the part at the beginning where I think of me as a wizard, I plan on like doing a cut and then a little like a drop in with me like wearing a wizard outfit. And just like, but something kind of like, you know, dapper, because that would be where I'm going with it. And then, you know, like, then the part where I was like, I wasn't always a wizard, and I would like drop in as like, old me or whatever. And I think that it could be some fun to play with the video.
It would be really fun to figure out a way to record it, to get your filmographer friend to help you record this so that the whole thing is like side on, like a platformer.
Ooh.
For them, and this might be tricky, and there might be some ways to figure out how to do this, but I love the idea that as you walk, the camera is following you. So you're always, you know, not quite center. You're always, you know, usually a little bit off to the left, just like you would be a character in a game. And that, you know, and then, you know, you can cut and things can happen, but like, it would be really cool to sort of see that. And, you know, you can turn to the camera and talk, but you're always in motion, and obviously even better if there's some things you can, you know,
jump
some
up levels, and hit, or,
you know, different levels where they just, exactly. Like that'd be amazing.
That is pretty fun. I do like that idea. We'll see how logistically easy or difficult that will be to implement. We'll run that by Jeff and see what he thinks about doing that.
Rent a studio with a green screen and then just put it all behind you.
Yeah, get a treadmill and just walk in place.
Exactly.
And
that's it. Yeah. it makes a great case.
Awesome.
I don't know that you need the specifics of what it is, because I think it's really sort of about just getting people excited and hungry.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you need like you'll have, you know, four calls or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because that stuff can change as well, and you don't want to have to.
I agree. I've been thinking about that as well. I like the idea of saying I'm available to summon.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But then I was like, well, if I say that, I kind of, do I need to explain it? So yeah. So I guess like, I could just kind of incorporate
There's probably a way.
Yeah. I can massage it in.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's something I've been working on, which is, it's been giving me a bit of energy and enthusiasm to continue on with some other stuff. And I've been continuing writing the schedule of the 12 levels, and I'm filling it out really well, and it's coming together. I've got like four or five levels that are a bit under filled out, and I've got like some of the early levels are like really filled out, and I'm like trying to like, okay, what can I move to later? Cause I'm like, you know, so much of it is like, all right, so I want to deliver, you know, I want to show you that this was worth it right away and not have you back out. But also, you know, I don't want to overwhelm in the beginning. So I want to like taper off. And
just a thought that's occurred to me as you're talking, and you may already be doing this. This feels very gamey. Something I noticed in the Simpsons game when I started replaying that last year. If at the beginning, the player, for want of a better word, can level up as like loads, like the, you know, the initial levels make them really short. So that they are really seeing, and then they gradually get longer over time, but you know, they can reach like level 5, level 10, like really quickly.
Yeah.
Because that's just going to give them a real sense of making really great progress.
Interesting.
You get like a really nice sense of that sort of kinetic energy and that sort of, yeah, the enthusiasm, rewarding that by just, yeah, making those initial levels just like, yeah, just really short, mm-hmm. like, you know, one or two little simple tasks, and then you're on to the next level, and
mm-hmm.
it elongates as, you know, as you go.
Yeah, for sure. Well, my, yeah. I have that. Definitely level one is super easy with the Joseph Campbell Hero's Journey framing of it. You know, it's the ordinary world. So we're just kind of like just taking stock of where you are at, and we're not making any changes. There's only one, the book suggestion is the only kind of hard part, which that's also given me some thoughts on that. Maybe change that to a different book that's easier, or not have a book that week.
Is there a condensed, is there like a TED Talk version or something, and then offer the book for those that want to dive deep into it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of these books, they, you know, they've gone and delivered that talk.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're obviously trying to sell the book. So
yeah, that's a good aspect. And you mentioned like Blinkist and other things before, and I've been thinking about that. That's really a good idea, man. Yeah, the book that I have that I assigned week one or level one is definitely, I mean, I'm actually reading it for the first time right now. I'm about halfway through it, and it's a good one to actually go through the book with. Like it's not one that you kind of want to just skip to get the points of. It's one that you're actually doing some work as you're reading it. And that work is necessary for the progress. So yeah, that gives me a lot to think about. Man, some of these things like so fell into place with this, like, oh, this fits so much for this level and this number and this stage of the hero's journey. And so it's kind of hard to be like, to move those things around, because I have already built attachment to them in certain spots, and it was like, oh yeah, man, this fits so well and stuff. Yeah.
But some of it might just be taking the levels that you've already got and just not arbitrarily dividing them, but dividing them a little bit so that they just, you know, what would normally be three levels becomes like 9 or 10 at the beginning, just so that people really get that early, you know, again, like the gamer, like you want to feel like you get the game, you know, because.
Oh, interesting. So like, okay. So internally or on the back end, I know it's 12 levels, but maybe like they go through the first two levels and they think they've done 20.
Yeah. It's really just, it's using levels. It's using gamification as a reward mechanism.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
It doesn't, you know, necessarily matter how many levels there are. And maybe there's even, you know, like the Chris Hardwick book, The Nerdist Way.
Yeah.
He had a whole thing where you sort of gave yourself XP for doing certain things. So it's rather than levels, you basically grant yourself XP. And so technically speaking, different people could have different, you know, points levels or whatever, depending on what you want to assign yourself. But yeah, either way, it's just, it's again, just trying to tap into that reward system, you know.
I'm leaning towards no, but I'm curious what your thoughts are. Do I reveal at all that the hero's journey is a part of this, or is that just for me as I'm creating it?
If someone discovers that, then that's great. But yeah, like don't reveal the structure.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. Then yeah, then the level numbers don't matter nearly as much. All right, you give me a lot to think about.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the curriculum sort of designed or getting there anyway.
Yeah, working on it.
Do you have a sense of timeline? And I guess you've got a sense of like who your people are going to be that you're going to do this first iteration with. Do you sort of have a sense of any of that yet?
So I definitely have a sense of like who I'm aiming it for. I have a sense of who my first like kind of round of people are going to be. And that is helping me kind of shape how I present it and how I build it, knowing these people and how they're going to see it, which has definitely been helpful. There's the advice of like having the persona that you're building something for. I mean, I've tried to make a persona based on different like guides and stuff and their advice. And it's felt so distant. It feels so paper. Mm. It feels so other and not like a real person, but having these like five or six people who are going to be beta testers, I'm like, okay, I know exactly. They're all a little bit different, but all a little bit the same. And having real people in mind helps so much more. I have an aspect that I'm thinking about, I'm researching to add to God mode.
Mm.
So I mentioned I was reading the book Woman Code a while back, and there was a part of it that near the end that was really fascinating and had, it was talking about the different masculine and feminine energies of Tantra and how, and it's actually kind of funny. I was listening to the audiobook and I felt a little bit called out. And called out's the wrong word. It was a bit more like kind of like slight man bashing, like masculine bashing a little bit. And okay. And it was from the point of like, it's talking to women about women taking on too much masculine energy and how they should be kind of emphasizing their feminine energy, which is beautiful. That's like, that's great. I'm all supportive of that message. But it was like, when you get home from work, do you A, want to just grunt and sit on the couch and watch your favorite show? Or B, do you want to talk about your feelings and connect with your partner? And it's like, hey, that's a bit mean.
Ah, now, well, now, yes, well, now. what it sounds like,
yeah.
If I'm going to use the coaching term, what I'm hearing is,
yeah.
You're identifying a judgment of masculine, for want of a better word, energy,
uh-huh.
with Brendan the person.
With a lot of those, I resonated more with the female energy or the feminine energy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like I should be masculine, of course, because I am male. I saw your head and your head jerk back from that.
Yeah, because so it's not. I know you know this, but like it's not. It isn't a Byron. A Byrony? Whoa, dear. It isn't a binary.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that word would be difficult for me to say today. How Byronic? Yes.
Isn't it Byronic?
We have both, but to differing degrees.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's why I was like. The masculine energy probably is to grunt and sit on the sofa, but that doesn't mean that's what all men do.
Yeah.
That just means that if you have an overbalance of that, which you don't,
yeah.
then yes, that is more likely what you're going to do, perhaps.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there are other very different aspects of masculine energy, which tends to be sort of, for want of a better word, thrusting, by which I mean like, you know, moving forwards and very linear.
Oh, I know what you mean by thrusting. And,
yeah, you know. And so, yeah, like, I don't think you should feel called out.
Yeah, called out's definitely
because it really
word.
Is just...
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, we have a mixture of both.
Yeah.
And it is really just a comment on the energy or the dynamic rather than... the sort of, because the personality is what is the mix of those, really.
Yeah. So one thing that it mentioned after that was how manifesting and magnetism were terms that were more appropriate to feminine energy, like things just mm-hmm. coming to you. And I thought that was really fascinating in terms of TBM and how mm-hmm. that to be magnetic is definitely more geared towards women. And that all feels right. And like, it feels feminine. It feels like I'm getting in touch with my more feminine side when I'm doing that whole program. And since I want to do something a little bit more to be men in God mode, trying to figure out what, you know, the balance yin yang of the masculine side of things, like how is that different? What's the masculine form of magnetism? Is that like being assertive and going to get it yourself? Is that...
It feels like that is the... I don't know if stereotype is the right word, but it feels like that is the archetype.
Yeah.
That it's, yeah, it's much more about go get it.
Right. And yeah, and how, if that is in case the counterpart and the equal, how do we best do that? What can be the lessons learned from that analysis? And so I've done a little bit of research into that, and I have a lot more research to do before teaching it. But this is a fun portal to go down and explore in terms of how we're investigating ourselves and growing as humans and males.
Yes.
a big part of the process of God mode is going to be dealing with the shadow, addressing the shadow. Speaking of 2B Magnetic, I did the 2B Magnetic Unblocked Shadow course. They sent out an email. It was Shadow Week, apparently. Who knew? Mm. They sent out a prompt. And I think the prompt was something like, from memory, thinking of your dream life, your main manifestation, what is wrong with you that's holding you back from getting that? Those weren't their words, but that's more or less the sentiment. Like, what are you doing to hold yourself back from getting your manifestation? And so I came up with like 6 or 7 things that I then boiled down to 3 things, because they want you to take 3 things through the shadow course. And then I kind of realized that those 3 things were all kind of the same thing, which is the same thing that the same core wound that I've been dealing with for a long time. Anyways, I kind of wanted to another process of the course is to out your shadow, talk about it so that it loses its power. It's just out there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything over you. They're just aspects. And so if you would permit me, I'm going to tell you some things I'm very insecure about. God mode was the manifestation that I had in mind when approaching this question. And so that was what I was thinking about. Like, what am I doing? What's wrong with me that's preventing God mode from happening? It's so much work, and I'm too lazy to finish or actually make anything. I'm too impatient and want to just have it and get on with it. I'm insecure and afraid. I'm lost, blinded, and unsure. I don't deserve peace or happiness or security. Oof. I don't know enough and forget too much and are missing things. I'm lacking in things to offer. Now, to me, those things boil down to 3 things. 1, I'm undeserving. 2, I'm lazy. And 3, I'm scared I'll fail. And then analyzing those, I realized that they all have the same core, which is that I am not good enough, which I don't believe is true, but subconsciously haven't caught up with myself on that one yet. That's my shadow. Well, that's this part of my shadow. Definitely not the whole thing, but not being good enough. That's been a tried and true message from my shadow to me.
Welcome to Earth, my friend.
Hello.
The people who think they're good enough are assholes.
So true.
And further to that, if I might refer you back to the book 10x is Easier Than 2x, which is the book by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy. One of the things that it mentions with any kind of big thing like this is that we worry that we don't have all the stuff that we need to do the thing. Mm-hmm. To go what they describe as 10x. We lack the skills and the courage, and there's something else that we lack as well. And that's what we fear. And we fear that because it's true. Because if you didn't lack those things, you would already be where you want to be.
Yeah.
You would already be at the top of the mountain. You would already be delivering this program. So part of the process is discovering that stuff, is living into it's, you know, in Lacey TBM terms, it's like, in order to see, to believe those things, you've got to prove those things to yourself. And some of those things are yet unproven.
Yeah.
Because if they were proven, you'd be doing the thing.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be living in that space of insecurity.
Yeah.
Because that's where the shit's going to get real. That's where the fun's going to start happening. That's where you're going to start learning. So yeah, there probably are gaps, but you're not delivering a program yet. You're designing a program.
Yeah.
And you're learning as you're designing the program.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, if you were looking for me to talk to your shadow, that might be what I might say to your shadow. Yeah. Don't like, try not to deny, because like it, you know, and that's borrowing from all the different self-help books, but like, the thing about the part of the brain that tells us these things, it does that because it wants to keep us safe. It doesn't want us to take risks that might embarrass us, mm-hmm. or, you know, causes get eaten by a lion.
Yeah.
There's no point trying to tell that voice that it's wrong, because it's only going to scream harder.
Yeah.
It's only going to scream louder. Yeah. Actually going, you know what? Yeah, you're right. And that's why I'm doing the work. That's why I'm reading the books. That's why you're continuing to read the books, because you don't have all the stuff yet. And that's fine.
True. I like that. My shadow is put in this place.
Until next time. I mean, it'll rear back up.
Oh,
again,
for sure.
Like, I don't know whether it's just me or whatever, but like, I don't think I like to try and gainsay people's fears. Like, I'd rather speak directly to them and say, yeah, they probably, there's mm-hmm. truth in there. Mm-hmm. So let's look at the truth mm-hmm. and let's expose the truth mm-hmm. rather than just automatically say, well, that's not true. Cause like, I don't think that helps.
No, it's not. It's both not true. And yeah, it doesn't help. I completely agree. Yeah. Look, these insecurities are all valid. They're coming from a place of truth within me. And yeah, and it's just a roadmap for the things I need to work on. Now I know what parts of the pavement to fill in to stop potholes.
Yes.
I took that through some DIs and I felt way better and more secure and more in tune with myself after that. And then also I've done a couple EMDR sessions about it. Man, God, I just love EMDR. It is so great. It is very effective for me. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I just did a session yesterday. It was not about my shadow, but it was about processing trauma about my ex-wife and then realizing that I was in that troublesome relationship with my ex-wife because of, and I've known this before, but it just being revealed in a new way and a new understanding of it because of all the trauma from my childhood and in some formative years being really left alone to my own devices and just kind of needing to raise myself and how I haven't yet super acknowledged how traumatic and disappointing and neglectful that all was. And like as a kid, I needed to think my parents were as good as gods. Yeah. I needed to think that they were mm-hmm. going to take care of me. I couldn't allow myself to realize how much of a failure they were. Then when you have that feeling for so long, it's easy to just keep lying to yourself about it. Keep that narrative going, because if you don't ever really face a need to question it, you know, just keep carrying on. But then when you want to start working on stuff and you want to grow and improve and get up to a higher station than where you are, you do need to start facing those things. And so I've had to face the disappointment of how my parents raised me in a lot of ways. And like, that's nothing new. Like people, you know, throughout, like people with mom and dad issues, like that's like 101. that's really, I'm not treading new ground with that one, but it's a weird transition to go from just thinking that you had such a great childhood and then taking a step back and actually analyzing it. I'm like, no, I made cupcakes out of shit. I had everything I needed to get here, which is great. But also, like, there was just a lot of trauma and a lot to unpack. And so I'm pretty proud of myself for getting as far as I have.
I'm pretty proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You dapper wizard. Just one of.
Yeah, just one of the many. There's tons of wizards out there. Surely some of them are dapper. Yeah.
Oh, I got an unexpected email that just sort of slightly set my cat among my pigeons. That was weird. Tom Merritt just sent me a top 5 list.
Ooh,
so that just freaked me out. Did you know, coincidence? And it's exactly the kind of fucking top 5 list I would make. Okay.
Tom Merritt, by the way, has been a point on my to talk to you about list for a while now. I just hasn't come around to it yet.
Yeah. Slips down the list. Mm-hmm.
You've had Tom Merritt in the back as a mentor for you. You reached out to him and asked him to be an advisor for you. How's that worked out? What's going on with that? What prompted you to reach out to him? What kind of things have you learned, if anything, yet? And how's that all been?
Well, here's that feeling of unease.
Ooh.
So.
We can table or not talk about this too. No, we good.
I reached out to Tom a few weeks ago because I've been doing this a little bit more lately, sending the unlikely email, mm-hmm. like sending the email that's like, probably not going to be a thing. This morning, I emailed Stephen Page,
ooh,
of all people.
Amazing.
Or at least, you know, I emailed his website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a thing here of emailing people that I like and respect.
Amazing.
And so Tom Merritt is a podcaster of many years. He's like one of the OGs. He has presented tech shows on a daily basis for pretty much almost as long as there have been podcasts to yeah. exist. His current iteration, which is now 10 years old, is the Daily Tech News Show, which he started just on his own and has now grown to a team. It's, you know, backed by Patreon, and he talks candidly and openly about what that's like in one of the member special episodes that he records every week. I started sort of getting back in touch with him last year, sent him a voice note via email just because I kind of wanted to communicate in kind, and he appreciated that, and we've gone back and forth. And then, yeah, a few weeks ago, I emailed him and I was like, do you do mentoring? Is that a thing that you've done? Is it a thing that you would consider doing? Because I should like to be mentored by you.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't retell his parts of the story.
Sure.
But the sort of bottom line is, yeah, we are working out the we've actually just gone back and forth calendaring. So we've now calendared, I think, successfully. So we're going to have our first meeting.
Wonderful.
The unease
yeah.
that I was feeling comes because really what I wanted his help with or would appreciate his advice on is from that point of view of audience growth, audience building, all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. how you build a community, how you nurture a community of listeners and all that kind of stuff, with that all being through the lens of Morning Creative.
Yeah.
Where I am now, I don't feel the same level of urgency I because I want to take the pressure off Morning Creative.
Yeah.
So that it can just become what it you know needs to be. Let it take the shape that it's going to take.
Right.
But List Envy is something that I'm interested in figuring out.
Yeah.
If I were to talk to him, what might he have to say about that? Because he, as well as doing factual stuff, well, sorry, not factual, but as well as doing like information delivery mechanisms, mm-hmm. he also does sort of more entertainy type things as well. I don't know if he still does Sword and Laser, but he has done for a very long time. And he has a show with his longtime friend, Molly Wood, called It's a Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
fun.
No, very happy to report that Sword and Laser is still happening. Yeah, and so, you know, he has those sort of things. He has a show called Cord Killers.
He had one with the Frog Pants guy.
Yeah.
Scott Johnson.
Yeah, that's been a long... I think that ended a while back.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah. If you look at the yin-yang symbol, they still have little white bits in each other's black bits.
Nice.
And vice versa.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. So, he's a very good person to talk to, around all of this stuff. And the fact that, yeah, he's willing to do that and he hasn't done it before... You know, I'm still sort of keen to take him up on it, but I think it's going to be a very different discussion, which I think is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is sort of where we are with that.
Amazing.
As I gear up for what is basically season 3 of List Envy.
Yeah.
I've had fun today. I haven't done this for a while. It's been really enjoyable using my mad coding skills.
Yeah.
Because I had the thought last night, why not do this? And if I can do this in a very low effort way, I was like, okay, it would be great if this thing can, you know, pay some bills, make some money at some point. That'd be lovely. You know, and so Patreon makes sense. So I was like, okay, offer some stuff for Patreon. I iterated out of this fairly quickly, but like thought, yeah, no, that's simple because it's something people understand. Mm-hmm. It's a mechanism. It's all there. The problem with Patreon is it comes with this inbuilt sense of pressure of it's very based on you have X number of patrons and you've got this goal and it's quite a lot of extra heavy lifting work that has to be done to provide extra content to it.
Yeah.
And that's no fun if like no one's doing it or only one person's. It's probably worse if only one person's doing it.
Yeah.
There is an expectation that you show the number of patrons, you know, on your website or whatever. And so for months, people have to look and see you've got one patron or whatever, and that patron is you. And like, I don't want to play in any of that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play in any of that pool. I don't want to swim in that pool at all. Mm-hmm. And so very quickly, I was like, well, actually, there's a simpler way we can rig this up without me having to write any code, which is I can set up a subscription. I can create a button, a page. You set up a subscription, you get a feed through Transistor, who are the people who host this podcast, as well as others. So you can get a private feed. And using fun bits of technology and my mad coding skills, I can produce one episode of a podcast that has extra content for one feed and an ad for the extra content in the other feed, just by using chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make my episodes and I can record a bit in the middle because I do these mid segments where I can say, hey, if you sign up for List Envy Plus, you get an extra bit of episode every week and no ads because, you know, at some point I may have ads.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, go to this address. And so the Plus listener doesn't hear that bit.
Yeah.
But what the Plus listener hears next is a segment where it's just going to be fun and dumb, I think, where I'm getting ChatGPT to write a 5-question quiz on the topic that the guest has chosen for their top 5.
Cool.
And so it's then...
Oh, that's a fun idea.
None of the guests know this, by the way. I haven't told it because, I mean, it only came to me last night. But I'm like, I'm not going to tell any of them. I'm going to spring it on them.
Oh, amazing.
And then the important thing that I will reiterate to them is this is not a test of your knowledge. This is a test of what do you think ChatGPT thinks is the answer? Because that's all, you know. So I was trying to think of a name for the quiz. Like, I want to call it something around plausible because the point is not to correctly guess the answer. Mm-hmm. It's to correctly guess the most plausible answer.
Sure.
That ChatGPT thinks.
Yeah. And so ChatGPT will create the questions and the answers, right?
It's done both, yeah. And it's identified what the correct answer is for me. So I did this for you know, one of the first episodes that I'm doing. What's fun is I'll read you one of the questions because I think it just sums up that this is just going to be a fun little, you know, extra.
Mm-hmm.
One of the episodes I'm going to be recording is top 5 romantic Korean dramas, like TV dramas.
Okay.
Which is, you know, again, like whole new world. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Question 5. In the Korean rom-com Weightlifting Fairy Kim Bok-ju, what sport does the female lead, Kim Bok-ju, excel in? Tennis, swimming, weightlifting, or archery.
Oh, nice. Oh, at least it gives you options. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, but the show is called Weightlifting Fairy Kim Bok-ju, and it's asking me what, you know,
tennis.
So I just thought...
Is it tennis?
Like,
tennis. Is it tennis? Did I get it right?
It's got to be tennis. So, yeah, so the rules are going to be...
Amazing.
2 points if you get it without multiple choice.
Oh.
And then if you want, you can have multiple choice. And if you get it right, then you get 1 point.
Ooh. Oh, that's fun.
And then we'll have like a leaderboard or something.
Oh, amazing. Oh, I love that so much.
Super easy to make.
Yeah.
Super easy to just divide it up using chapters in Logic and then export it out into the MP3 encoding software that I don't know if you'd use it as well, but Marco Arment has got his MP3 encoding software, which will take all of the markers, turn them into chapters. So that's very little work. And then I wrote a script that, and I can configure it as I need to, but basically I wrote a script that looks for certain chapters, includes certain chapters in one version of the file, excludes them from another version of the file, and then uploads them both to Transistor.
Nice.
And puts the scheduling date, the title, and everything. So basically, very little work to actually have to make an extra bit of content. So,
that's so cool.
Those that subscribe to the Plus feed will get a longer episode.
That's amazing. I love all of that. All of it.
It's fun. So, you know, it's one, and because of the way I've designed it, because it's not on Patreon, I don't need to reveal how many people sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Or that doesn't have to be a goal. That doesn't have to be anything. It's just there. It's fun for me to do the quiz. It takes 2 seconds.
Right.
And it's just, you know, low effort and a nice bit of reward.
Super. And so that you could just sign up through your website.
Yeah, just go straight through to Stripe. You get an email. It signs you up to using Zapier. This is all through Zapier, which is one of these internet glue services. So it just says, you know, when someone signs up here, when a customer is created, you know, on this product, then add them to this mailing list and then tell Transistor, because Transistor are the best. It will, you know, create a private subscriber to that feed. They get a welcome email. They get information on how they can subscribe to the feed. And there's a link there to say, hey, you know, whenever you want to cancel, just go back to this website. And there's a link there to cancel. That's all handled through Stripe as well. Didn't have to write any code to do any of that.
Amazing.
The code that I wrote is all on the, like, how to make these MP3 files work.
Sure.
Fun.
Super cool. Since I have started taking over the editing of this show, yes. I tried out making chapters for the first time using Descript and uploaded to, I found out that, so Descript has an export to Transistor option and it doesn't export the chapters when you do that. But if you export it as an MP3 and then upload it, then it does. So I figured that out. For the listener, you have the option to go back and listen to your favorite chapters.
It's all an option to just re-listen to the best bits.
Yeah.
Well, what's lovely is that, yeah, I can see, oh, wow, you've done, yeah, there's lots of traps.
Yeah, I did a few.
Oh, I love it. There's something we discovered. I found a sort of a bug both in my handling of chapters in my code that has existed since Podiant.
Oh.
And a weirdness that's created in Transistor. So, like, all the chapters work and they all play in MP3 players absolutely fine. But in Transistor, they come out of order. So I've got to figure out why that's happening.
Whoa.
Which is, yeah, which I don't love.
Is it just the titles are out of order, or is it actually the segments move?
It's just the list. So the it's literally just the list of the table of contents.
Oh, funny.
Is... The jungle. Chapters are all, they have the correct timestamps and the correct titles, but you'll have like 1 hour and 3 minutes is the first one, and then the next one will be at like 00:00. So the timestamps are correct, but they're just not in the right order.
Listening on shuffle.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, like it doesn't affect the MP3, it doesn't affect the listening. Oh. It's just how it's listed in just the table of contents.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, because if it would have affected the listening, I would have been like, hang on a minute. There's something wrong with the MP3 file.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's something I've got to sort of try and figure out, but that's fine. So I might download the Descript file that you've created and see what I'm doing wrong.
Nice.
Yeah, I like diving into all that kind of stuff. It's fun. I kind of bring it up because Transistor do a fair bit with chapters in that they will read them from the file and then they can show them in your show notes and they can show them on the website as well.
Amazing.
And what's cool there is if we integrate them on the web page for this episode, the listener can click on the web to the timestamp that they want and the player will automatically move to that timestamp on the web as well. They think
very
about
nice.
This stuff.
Yeah.
And they're super responsive. I know they started a little bit after Podiant, but also they grew much bigger than Podiant. But like in some ways, I'm like, if I were passing a baton, they are absolutely the people to pass it to. I mean, so they've like, way surpassed me. But like, I like it when because there's so few things. Like, there's so few tools out there. Like everything feels like it's a grift now. Everything feels like. That, you know, everyone's trying to get that little bit extra from you or
grifting,
make the product a little bit shittier.
That's last episode when I was thinking about grafting, I was overlapping it with grifting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but no. Made that connection.
But like, yeah, there's always a, you know, so many places, like there's always a bait and switch. Like all of these TV streaming services are all either charging you the same amount and then placing ads in, or they're just upping their prices for no like difference or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, Amazon Prime Video is now with light ads, and it's like 30 seconds of these, you know, it's Amazon propaganda and other services, and it's just like, mute, walk away. Yeah.
At least Netflix did it with a lower tier. At least Netflix offered a lower tier or whatever. But but then there's a few of these like pieces of software, a few of these, like, you know, and it's typically the non... It feels like, anyway, the non-venture capitalist funded ones that are just like either, you know, a bit bootstrapped or whatever. And they're just like, we just want to provide a good service.
Yeah.
Notion feels like one of those. Yeah. They might be VC funded, but they just, they make a good product and they charge a little bit for it if you want that. The, you know, the free version you can get by fairly well. But then like they have this super generous paid tier, which is really inexpensive. They could legitimately charge a fair bit more for it, and that's fine. And, you know, I wouldn't be upset if they up their prices that much because they're just focused on providing a good service.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, they want to make money by providing a good service, you know, like how we used to, instead of just finding a way to just grow bigger and bigger and bigger until they can be sold to someone else. They seem to just be okay with providing a good product. And this, love it that. Feels like there are so few of those around.
Yeah.
I am genuinely and consciously grateful for the ones that exist that are just doing that.
Yeah, same here.
Descript, I go back and forth on.
I know. Same here.
It's mostly stabilized at the moment, which is great. They've had some real, because it really, really fucks with my day when Descript have one of those things. And what usually happens is, I think I've got the pattern now. They're actually pretty on it when there's an error, but because I'm 5 or 6 hours ahead, I'm at the bleeding edge of this new, like, it's like basically they upload a new version at the end of the day, they go, done, finished, nice little update, let's all go home, lads, we're done. And then I wake up and I'm doing my stuff over here in this hemisphere, and it's like I come against this issue. The next day it's often sorted when it's a big glaring issue, because it's just, I think it's just where I, literally where I sit time zone wise. Right. But it fucks with my day because it's like, sometimes I cannot do my work because of this little thing that's changed. And because it's not proper software, because it's a website that's wrapped up in an app, it's like, fuck, well, I can't go to a previous version. It's like, But can you, for the moment,
can you hold off on updating for like 24 hours?
Yeah, you can do, but it bugs you every five minutes. If just, you X out and it's like, fuck.
Yep.
But yeah. But then the problem that with that though is if I do that, there could be it's a rolling, I'm just kicking that can down the road.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then
they might fix one thing and then introduce another problem. So
yeah, exactly.
But I haven't yelled at anyone at Descript for a while. And I usually say, like, in my rant, I'm like, I'm getting so pissed off because this is so essential to my work.
Yeah,
like,
I know. They've built such an essential product.
And I'm about to build a big course around it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm developing. It's one of these things that I've been meaning to do for a long time. I think it's going to be one of those where I'm like, when it launches, I think it could do quite well. And it's going to be one of those where I'm like, dude, you put this off for so long. How did you not do this earlier? And it's teaching Descript to virtual assistants.
Ooh.
Because you know enough to know that, like, this is not rocket science.
Yeah.
There is a degree of art to it, but, like, for the most of the kinds of podcasts that we may be asked to edit, there is not, and I've said this to clients, like, there's not huge levels of skill here.
No,
what there are is just knowing, you know, the patterns to go through and the things to click, and you know, it's just knowing a few different things that can actually be the difference between something sounding piss poor and something sounded actually really at a pretty decent standard. And so the course, I'm just making this course that's like, it's just, here's everything, like, here's soup to nuts using Notion, Descript and Transistor to just go all the way through. Here's how you can offer your clients the ability to edit podcasts, because your clients want that. And there are podcast editors that are starting to get more expensive, and people can do this at VA rates.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so
smart.
That's the logic, anyway.
Yeah,
mate, I cannot wait. So, quick note to the dear listener. we recorded two episodes at once. And so if you're wondering why Mark didn't ask about Brendan's silent retreat, that will happen next week.
That will happen next week. I'm excited to tell you about it. This is my first ever, as I've mentioned probably 20 times before, super excited about it to just not talk and not have any inputs. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what depths I'm going to plunge. And there's going to be Dharma talks as well, like kind of like teachings and guidance on what we should be, doing, how we should breathe and whatever. So yeah, I'm super excited about that.
Fantastic. Have I talked to you about the 12-hour walk before?
Yeah. And actually, Margaret heard about that on the podcast and she was inspired to try it out herself. And she got an hour into it and stopped because it was right after the car accidents. And she was maybe this is not a good idea. I'm a bit tired.
So,
but I think that's definitely something that she would love to get back to doing.
I'm very up for it. I've got some back stuff that I think I need to rest up with. But then, like, at some point, because I can walk, I'm a good walker.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just charge you on. You just, I love it. I'm like, okay, catch up. Okay, be right there. No, don't wait up. Oh,
part of that was I spent so much time in panic of like, oh God, we're supposed to be a thing. and also at the same time, not being the guy who's going, oh God, we're supposed to, like, duality that I was living of panicking over connecting times for things, but also having lived with my mother and knowing what that tension is and not wanting to do that. Guys, we'll get there when we get there. It's all good.
Yeah. So
inside, I'm going,
One of my favorite, I have multiple photos of you on the screensaver on my television. And one of my favorite ones of them is we were walking across a bridge in Birmingham. We were trying to get somewhere. I don't remember where. It might have been the theater. And we were walking in one direction. And then I brought my phone out to take a picture of you and Margaret walking forward. But then you both realized kind of at the same time that you were walking the wrong direction. And you were like pointing up in the air. And then you both turned towards me holding my camera up ready to take a photo. It was perfect. And you're both pointing in kind of in different directions a little bit. And it's like, oh no, we're supposed to go that way. And it's like, it's just glorious. I love it.
That might have been on the way back from the chocolate factory.
Yeah, it might be.
In Cadbury World, rather, not the factory. Yeah. Good times.
So good times. So good times. All right. Next time we will talk about the silent retreat and everything that's happened for you and the world and minus the world. And as always, correct me if I'm lemon.
You're silly.
I am silly. I want you to listen to the sound of my voice just as if it were noise. Don't try to make any sense out of what I'm saying, because your brain will take care of that automatically. You don't have to try to understand it. Just listen to the sound. As you hear sounds coming up in your head, you simply listen to them as part of the general noise going on. And soon you will find that the so-called outside world and the so-called inside world come together. They are a happening. And everything is simply a happening. And all you're doing is watching it. The easiest way to get into the meditative state is to begin by listening. If you simply close your eyes and allow yourself to hear all the sounds that are going on around you, just listen to the general hum and buzz of the world as if you're listening to music. Don't try to identify the sounds you are hearing. Don't put names on them. Simply allow them to play with your eardrums. Don't judge the sounds. There are no, as it were, proper sounds or improper sounds. It's all just sound. As you hear sounds coming up in your head, you simply listen to them as part of the general noise going on, and soon you will find that the so-called outside world and the so-called inside world come together, come together, come together, come together, come together. One of my favorite songs of all time.